Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, and welcome to Set It in Motion, where every Monday morning at 10 a.m. we set in motion real-life solutions to real-life problems. I'm your host, Edwina Davis. I am delighted to be here with you this morning. We had a bit of a break for our regular followers. You know that for the past 2 weeks, we were on a bit of a hiatus. I was out promoting my new book, co-written with my 11-year-old niece, Samira Davis. The title of the book is Nico and Sierra's Adventures, No More Knuckles Sandwiches. And it's all about a child's solution to ending abuse and bullying. So we're excited about that project, and we've gotten a lot busier than I anticipated so soon. The book was released in July, mid-July, and we have been off and running since that time. In fact, I want to say hi to my niece, who is, as we speak, on her way to Dallas, Texas. She is going out there to speak tonight at 8 p.m. at the Dallas Women's Museum. I wish her the best, want her to have a safe trip there and back, and to have much success. Sell a lot of books and get the word out. We believe that it's a worthwhile effort, and we're doing our part to help stop it. It's just ridiculous. The bullying is September. The kids are having to go back to school frightened, and we want to put an end to that as well as all abuse to our children. I wanted to get that out of the way before I announce our special guest today, who's Janine Godwin. Janine's a certified professional organizer. We'll talk about, I'll give Janine's bio in just a second, but also want to announce that unfortunately today, September 12th, will be my last show for Set It in Motion. For those of you who have been following us, you know that I am also hosting a new show called the TBA Lounge, also known as the Best Authors Lounge, which airs every Monday night at 8 p.m. Eastern. I found that there's just way too much on my plate, and I need to spend a lot more time promoting and traveling and speaking as it relates to the book. So I'm going to have this be our last show. I don't know whether or not I'll pick it up at some other time, but for the next several months, or at least probably the remainder of the year, this is our last show. So without further ado, I'd like to introduce our guest. Again, her name is Janine Godwin. Janine is a certified professional organizer, and since 2003, she's lived up to her company's mission statement, which is assisting clients in achieving their goals of an organized lifestyle. She earned her BCPO certification in January of 2008, and she is the only professional organizer in the Houston metro area who's earned 8 certificates of study from the Institute for Challenging Disorganization, or ICD, which she has been an active member of since 2005. As a member of the National Association of Professional Organizers, Janine continues her studies to further her education in the organizing industry to best assist her clients. Janine is equipped with the expertise to handle many types of organizing projects. Her experience in working with clients who have hoarding tendencies, adult ADD, and chronic disorganization is what sets her apart from other organizers, and she's a highly regarded expert in her industry. She's appeared on the hit television series Hoarding, Buried Alive on TLC, and she's been a guest expert on Fox TV 26 in Houston. In addition to working as a certified professional organizer, Janine is a freelance writer. Several of her articles on organization and home management have appeared in local and national media. She was also a contributing author to the book Stop Clutter from Stealing Your Life. Janine is also an active volunteer behind the scenes of various fundraising events in the community, and she enjoys organizing for several local and nonprofit organizations. Wow, Janine, are you there?
I'm here, Edwina. How are you this morning?
I'm great this morning. How are you?
I'm great.
Good. I've said a mouthful for you. That's quite a bio there.
Yeah, I mean, listening to it, I was sitting there thinking to myself, wow, did I really accomplish all that?
Isn't that funny when you see it in writing? Because you never think about it once you're in it. But, yeah, it sounds like you've accomplished quite a lot. And I know that there are several people who were interested in what you have to say because, you know, we lead such busy lives these days that, you know, there's a lot of talk about how do you get everything done that needs to be done. And one way to do it is to become more organized. I know that's a problem I have on a personal level. So why don't we jump right in? Tell us, Janine, I've given that wonderful bio, but tell us exactly what a certified professional organizer does.
Well, a certified professional organizer, a lot of people ask me, how do you become certified and what are the qualifications in order to get certified? And it's pretty extensive. It's not simply something that you can earn in one class or over a weekend. It is definitely something that takes a lot of time, and each prospective candidate must prove a minimum of 1,500 hours of paid work, organizing work experience in a 3-year period, and that's just in order to sit for the exam itself. So there's that qualification. And what they try to do is just to make sure that those candidates who do pass the exam possess the knowledge and experience in order to become certified. The exam itself is about a 2-hour exam, and it's a simple pass-fail, multiple choice, but there are several books that you must read, study, and, you know, of course, knowing the hands-on and having the 1,500 hours of paid work experience, it's not something that we take lightly. It's not something that just happens very quickly. It is something that is built over time in order to qualify.
Okay. Very good. All right. Well, let me ask you this, because I noticed in your bio that you became a CPO or a Certified Professional Organizer in about 2008?
That's correct. That's
why
correct.
Did you
I
choose
had to...
that...
I'm sorry?
I was going to ask, why did you choose that profession and what did you do before?
Well, actually, prior to becoming a professional organizer, I like to say or use the term Girl Friday. I guess that maybe it's an old term or it's a dated term, but administrative assistant, executive assistant, you know, there's a lot of different terms I guess you can place with that kind of a career. And it was more in the corporate industry, and what happened was I was working for a fantastic woman here in the Houston area, and one day she had asked me, she says, you know, you're so organized here in the office, you keep my files so great, and my office is pristine, do you do homes? And I looked at her kind of with this perplexed look on my face, and I said, what do you mean by homes? And she says, well, do you go into people's homes and organize closets and kitchens and laundry rooms? And I said, you know, I've never really thought about it, but I suppose I could give it a try, but that's not my background, that's not my specialty. And she says, I tell you what, why don't you come and see if you could just straighten out my closet, I'd be thrilled. And I thought, oh my gosh, what am I opening up myself to? You know, you just don't know. And so I thought, as a favor to her, I did do it. And we got to talking as we were working, and she goes, you know, there is an organization out there for professional organizers. I really think that you should look into this. And so I guess it was kind of like by default, it kind of happened and fell in my lap from a previous employer. So she had the vote of confidence to do it. And so that's kind of how it happened. It just started from that point on.
Okay. That's an interesting start. And I think a lot of people would have that story to tell about they sort of fell into it by accident, but really that's what you were meant to do, it sounds like.
Well, having an organized mind and being that, you know, that I was working in the corporate part of it with filing and keeping offices organized in the company and so on and so forth, I mean, I guess, for lack of a better term, I was organizing professionally, but not in the grand scheme of you are a professional organizer. I was just, to me, an administrative assistant or Girl Friday or a secretary, you know, whatever you want to label it. That's what I was doing. So, you know, in all fairness, there are assistants out there that are highly organized that may not fall under the category technically of a professional organizer, but they are highly organized within their field.
That's right. Okay. Now, you said you have an organized mind, and I think that's an important statement you made, because I think there are people who don't have organized minds for whatever reason. And I guess that would be, do you find that that's your typical client or, let me ask it this way, who is your typical client?
You know, it varies, Edwina. I'll be honest with you. I wish I had a specific type of client. I could say this is my typical client. I guess if I was to really reach into my mind, it would be primarily people who are more on the chronic side. And what I mean by chronic, it means that every attempt that they have tried to become organized, whether it's by reading books, watching shows, having a friend or a relative come in to help them, nothing has helped. I mean, every attempt has failed. So when it's chronic and it's constant and they find themselves getting, the, let's say their death cleared off, and next thing you know, it's within a month, it's back to where it was. That's a chronic situation, and it's something that they've lived with more than likely for the majority of their life. So I would say my typical client are chronic disorganized people. That can range anywhere from a housewife with three kids at home to executive CEOs of companies. It's not any one given demographic of person. It really does span across several different types of people.
Okay, all right. Listening to you describe that chronic situation, you know, I'm taking notes here, and that sounds a little like me. I'll organize my desk or my car or something, and I give it a week. Certainly by the second week, I need to do it all over again. So we'll get more into that.
okay.
Continue our discussion. Yeah. I have a question that came in from the email that I want to get in just to be sure we get these questions in. She says, I know it varies from client to client, but is there an average number of sessions to help someone get organized?
That's a great question, whoever sent that in, and I get that quite a bit. I wish I had the magic number. It really does vary from client to client. How severe is their situation? What is going on in their life as far as the time that they have to dedicate to the project at hand? A simple closet, and I can only really break it down by, how would I say, areas or what I've experienced in the years I've been doing this. But like a master closet, for example, depending on how severe that closet is disorganized, it could be anywhere from 6 to 8 hours because you're having to purge through clothes and shoes, accessories, and then come up with systems to put into place to hopefully, and we do our best to put systems into place that people can follow and maintain very simply. So to answer the question, it really does depend on how severe the mess or the disorganization is, what area, the size, where is that client's frame of mind? Are they really just looking for you to come in and set it up for them, or are they looking to really change their lifestyle habits and the way they use a room or think, or what is their schedule? So all these different things have to be taken into consideration before we can even attempt to get in there and organize. I ask questions that I think really perplex people, like, why are you asking me that? And it's not to be personal, but I need to really find out and get to the deep down roots of why is this happening. It's not simply coming in and cleaning it up, but tell me a little bit about what's going on in your life. And that's a big indicator, and 9 times out of 10, the reason why people are chronic, because they have just way too much on their plate.
That's right. Good point. Okay. We've got some people in the chat room. I want to recognize and take this moment to remind our people in the chat room, as well as those who are listening, that if you have a question for our guests, just please press 1 that effectively raises your hand so that I know you're not just listening and you do want to make a comment or ask a question. Our call-in number is 858-357-8494. You're listening to Set It in Motion with our guest, Janine Godwin, who is a certified professional organizer. Janine, we've got a question from the chat room as well. Person says, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I said fantastic. Go ahead.
Okay. This person says, is it possible to help someone? Oh, this is a good question. Is it possible to help someone get organized by working with them online, or does it have to be face-to-face?
That is a fantastic question, and I'm so glad that our listener asked that question, because I am asked that quite a bit. Yes, there is what we refer to it in our industry is called virtual organizing, which obviously virtually you're on a computer. It can be done via Skype or on the phone. It does take a lot of discipline by the client to follow what her organizer is instructing her or him to do. It does take a little bit of, I always say, the dance beforehand to get to know each other, build that relationship, find out, is this person really seriously wanting to make that change? And your organizer, if they're working virtually, really has to get to know them. You're going to become very, very close via email, via the computer, via phone, possibly. I mean, there's different ways to do the virtual organizing. But if somebody is in a remote area that does not have a professional organizer close by to them, or there's a specific organizer that they would like to work with, you know, if they offer the virtual organizing services, by all means, it can be highly successful. But the client has to understand the majority of the work is going, the physical work, that is going to be on their hands. So what we would do as an organizer is be more coaching or guiding that person to make sure that they follow the different guidelines and the different steps that that organizer has put forth to help them succeed.
Okay, great. I hope that answered your question. In the chat room, it looks like they're trying to type something else, but we'll come back to that once they're completed. Janine, I know based on your bio, you work with one of your specialty areas is working with clients who've been diagnosed with ADD, and that's, for those of you who may not know, attention deficit disorder, mostly diagnosed for adults. ADHD or ADD for children is not something that you work with, but you specialize in working with adults. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. Now, how does your work with someone with ADD differ from your work with somebody who has not been diagnosed? Is there a difference, or do you work kind of the same way, or tell us about that?
It is very different. When I get a call from a potential client and the first thing they may say is, they'll say, I have ADD. And what I will always ask them prior to just taking that for, you know, as gospel that they have it, I say, have you been clinically diagnosed? There is a difference. When somebody says, no, I have not been clinically diagnosed, or no, I have not seen a physician and am on medication, I think a lot of times television has put in the mind of a lot of adults, I'm not saying that they don't have it or potentially have it, but I think they see the TV shows or the TV drug commercials and go, oh my gosh, I have all those symptoms, I have ADD. So that's why I always say, have you been clinically diagnosed? And if they have, that at least tells me that, yes, they are on medication. Yes, this is the real deal, and they're not just assuming that they have it. When I'm working with a adult that does have the ADD, the first thing that I always insist upon, if they are on medication that has been prescribed by their physician, they have to be on it. And I really trust that they are on it. And I say, you know, the physician has put you on this for a reason. It's going to help you focus. It's going to help you get through the sessions a little bit easier and focus on the task at hand. My job as an organizer and the difference between working with somebody that's non-ADD versus with the ADD is how I approach it and how I break down the tasks. I've got to keep them focused. I have to keep them engaged. I have to keep them doing what I ask that we do. We break it down into much smaller increments of time. For example, somebody that does not have ADD, we can, let's say we're working on a closet, we can just keep going, take a quick break and go right back at it. We remember where we're at, we remember what we're doing. Somebody with ADD, on the other hand, we're going to break it down to 15 to 20 minute increments, take a break, we're going to regroup, I'm going to ask questions, how does it feel, is it a good pace for you, are you staying focused on what I'm saying, do you have any questions? So we have to stop and start quite a bit. It's a little bit lengthier of a process because of the starting and the stopping, but my job is to make sure that they are staying on task and not butterflying, as I like to say. You know, oh, I want to put this blouse over here, and then they get to that spot, and then they start doing something else. My job is to keep them reined in, focused, and on task and not overwhelm them. People with ADD have a tendency to get overwhelmed extremely quickly and easily. So I have to slow down the pace. I have to work at their pace. And my mannerisms are very important. I have to be a very calming force and presence to them. I can't assume that they're absorbing everything I say. So it's a little bit different. I mean, you can see the difference in working with somebody that's non-ADD, and they're just going a mile a minute, and we can keep up that fast pace, and we can bang out something very quickly. It's going to be very different with an ADD client.
That's right. Wow. Okay. So now let me ask you this. what would you say your success rate, how would you say your success rate compares to somebody who's been diagnosed with ADD versus somebody who has not? Have you noticed any trends there?
I have, actually, Edwina. It's a good question. I would say, unfortunately, those that do have the ADD have a tendency to give up a lot easier. And I think that's just the nature of the beast. And it's something that I always go in with, you know, if this is a success, and I'm not saying I'm already preparing myself for doom, because that is not the case whatsoever. I mean, I want somebody to succeed more than anybody, but I have to be realistic. And I think people that I've noticed, and I can only speak for myself, I can't speak for other organizers, but, you know, they have a tendency to want everything right now. They really are very, let's say, instant gratification is a big thing with them, and they are very hung up on perfectionism. I have to break that mold, and I just say, don't beat yourself up on the minutiae. Don't focus on the details right now. Let's look at it from very general terms, because I don't want them to get discouraged. I don't want them to think that all these little details that come with organizing over time is where we're going to start. We're going to start with the big picture and funnel it down to the smaller detail, but that comes over time. A lot of times midway, they get frustrated because they're not seeing that instant gratification. They're not seeing the results as quickly as they think in their mind that it should be or they want it to be, so therefore they will give up. I can only do what I can do and keep them as engaged as possible, but if they're not feeling that they want to continue because they're not getting out of it what they really in their mind think they should be getting out of it, we can only, as organizers, do the best we know how to keep them on task and to keep them engaged, and to hopefully get them to the success rate that we want them to.
Wow. Okay. And, you know, that's a very good point about sometimes people with ADD seek instant gratification. That brings up a question in my mind. Do you have some sort of workbook or something in writing, charge or something like that, that you use with your clients in general, and in particular with somebody who may have been diagnosed with ADD?
No, I don't. I know that there are some out there. What I could do, Edwina, is I could go back into my memory bank at some point and see what there's a couple of books out there I know that are very good that people with ADD, if they have the focus to read, I know a lot of times they want to read books and buy organizing books that pertain to ADD. Well, I mean, that's kind of like, I always say like an oxymoron, because, I mean, they don't want to sit down for long periods of time to read through a book to go through what the book is saying, but at the same time, they want to read a book. They're not going to get out of a book what working hands-on, one-on-one with a professional organizer. They're not going to have the same success or the same results as working with somebody to keep them accountable. That's the key. A book is great, but is it going to hold you accountable? No. Working with an organizer, that person is going to act as that person to hold that accountability to make sure that you are going to succeed as far as you're willing to take it.
Okay. I'm glad you mentioned that, too. Several months ago, we did a show on accountability. We had an accountability coach on, and actually I hired her for some time. I think you've probably heard me announce that I've written a book. I have several books I'm working on. Finally got one published in mid-July. So she was I hired her to work with me on making sure I got that done, because I have a tendency to start things and then finish them, you know, years or months after I plan to. So I know how important that is to have somebody be accountable to. So I'm glad that's a part of your whole program.
Oh, most definitely. I think that's why a lot of people do reach out to professional organizers, because they're so overwhelmed and they know themselves. A lot of people know themselves, and a lot of times they'll say, gosh, I start things, I put them down, I start something else, I've got all these projects that have not been completed and my mind's racing in a million different directions. Well, coming into a situation like that, a professional organizer is going to see there's a lot of uncompleted tasks. There's a lot of projects that have been started and stopped. There are a lot of different crafts or hobbies that have been started and stopped. So, again, it's the accountability. We bring that to the table. We bring that to the sessions to the client to say, okay, you want the help. You're recognizing that you're not finishing these different things. So let's really get down to the nitty-gritty and let's talk about
what is a priority. And that's the thing. We help them sort through the priorities. Time, as I mentioned earlier, is a killer for people with ADD and organizing. They've got their hands in so many different things. At times, they lose track of time. And we come in as organizers and say, okay, let's look at the big picture. Show me every single thing that you do on a daily basis or a weekly basis, the things you're involved in. Are there kids involved? I mean, as far as you have children that's tugging you here, there, to their things and their events. So all of this we have to take into account, every single bit of it. And I say, the more information you give me, the more I'm going to be able to help you, because you're telling me everything that's a part of the puzzle. Every piece is a critical piece. And that they have to be forthright and tell me what's going on so I can come up with the best solution I know how.
Have you ever come across, Janine, somebody who may not have honestly known what was going on? All they know is that, you know, I need to get my life in order. I'm sure you've run into people like that.
Oh, sure, all the time. You know, people, again, they're just like, I'm going a mile a minute. And you know, funny, it's almost when you say, okay, you're a mother of three. They're each involved in four or five different hobbies or sports or whatever. You're trying to keep a house going. You've got a husband. You know, you travel maybe a lot or whatever. And when you start breaking it down and saying, this is reality as you know it, where is there any breathing time for you to have a half an hour just to sit and just maybe take a nap or just to take a breather? People are so wired with this, you know, fast-paced lifestyle that they lose sight. They don't understand why they're disorganized. And then when you start bringing it to the table and saying, okay, here it is. Look at all the things you're trying to accomplish on a daily basis. No wonder why you're disorganized. Don't beat yourself up. Start taking some things off your plate or start learning that fantastic word, no. You know, I mean, That's what I try to tell my clients. Don't try to overdo it. You know, learn to say no. Learn to put yourself first. And if you have to say, I can't do this right now, in order to get some time for yourself, you have to do that. And like you said, I have to bring that to the attention sometimes to people because they think they are supposed to be able to be doing these things at warp speed. And, you know, life's too short to be going that fast pace. You're not stopping and smelling the roses, you know, and your house all, you know, basically, Edwina, when you look at it, I always think that people's homes or their work environments and how disorganized it is a reflection of what's going on with them internally.
Absolutely. Wow. Okay. Let me get this last question in from the email. This person, I can't tell if it's male or female, but this person actually had a two-part question. You can answer to the best of your ability, I guess, both, but keep in mind we are at 10:27, so we've got about little shy of three minutes. The questions are, is there a real difference between being unorganized and disorganized? And then the second part of that question is, do you work with people who have been diagnosed with depression?
The second part of that question, yes, I do work with people who are diagnosed as depressed quite a bit. It does tie in a lot of times, believe it or not, with the ADD, and it does tie in many times with the hoarding. So, yes, as far as working with depressed clients, absolutely. It does tie into other aspects of the organizing community that I do work with. Is there a difference between organized and disorganized? Absolutely. I mean, I don't see anything positive in any way, shape, or form about being disorganized. You're losing time. You're losing money. You're losing maybe your credit ratings going down, your time, everything. Whereas when you talk to an organized person, you're not seeing those same stress levels. I've never once heard somebody who's organized saying, I am organized and I'm miserable, ever. Ever. It's always the person that's disorganized that's saying, I mean, I'm so disorganized and I'm miserable. And I'm thinking, okay, the day that somebody comes to me that's organized and says that they are totally miserable being organized, then I'm going to quit my job. You know? So.
That's right.
I hope that answers
right.
The question.
Well, you know what? I may have misread the question. They're asking, is there a real difference between being unorganized and being disorganized?
No, I think it's, you know, it's a little, you know, six half dozen of the other. I mean, it's a term, you know, if you're unorganized, you're disorganized. I mean, now chronic disorganization is a very real thing. It's a little bit different. It's because you've just tried every attempt and it's failed. You know, people can have situational disorganization, you know, depending on what's going on in their life. They may not be chronic. They might just have a hiccup in their life and things get kind of out of whack. We all go through that. But when you're chronic,
okay,
that means it's just constant.
Okay. All right. I've got a couple more questions for you, but we are about to run out of time, and I do want you to give your information so that any of our listeners would like to contact you, they may, and also tell us about any upcoming projects you'd like to make us aware of.
Absolutely. If people do want to contact me, they can visit my website. It's www.nooks-and-crannies, C as in Charles, RANNIES.com. And there they can email me or call me either way. And we do have a great event if anybody's listening from the Houston area or in South Texas. We do have an event coming up next week at the Houston Junior League, and it is Organize, Simplify, and Celebrate. It's a two-hour luncheon and presentation by three of Houston's top certified professional organizers about organizing and preparing for the holidays. So if anybody's in the Houston area listening, we'd love to have you come out and enjoy a nice lunch from the Junior League and learn something about getting organized for the holidays.
Wonderful. Let me just repeat your web. That's your website you gave, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Nooks-and-crannies, CRANNIES.com. And
that's
from
correct.
There they can email you if they'd like.
Absolutely.
Okay. I put that in the chat room. And you've been listening to Set It in Motion, where every Monday morning at 10 a.m. we set in motion real-life solutions to real-life problems. You've been listening to our special guest, Janine Godwin, who's a certified professional organizer. Janine, this has been very informative. Thank you very much, and much success to you.
Thank you, Edwina. I've appreciated you asking me to come on.
You're very welcome. You have a great day.
You too.
All right, just want to let our listeners know that to follow us tonight, every Monday night at 8 p.m. Eastern on TBA Lounge right here at Blog Talk Radio. Everybody have a great day and a terrific week.